On behalf of JBD, I'd like to welcome everybody here today to our luncheon with the topic of Israel, Oasis of Innovation, which obviously implies that Israel is in the middle of a desert of innovation that is the rest of the Middle East. My name is David Werdiger, I'm president of JBD. We're very happy to have Nadav Kidron, who is CEO of Oramed Pharmaceuticals. He's in Australia raising funds for his company to go into, well, tell us all about it, phase two trials for oral administration of, that's enough. He's going to speak for about 20, 25 minutes. After that, he'll take questions and we'll conclude the event with Mincha at 1:30. You'll be able to watch it on the shtick. So we have Henry Greener taking a video.
Without a tripod.
Without a tripod, so he's working extra hard. So please give it for Nadav.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure being here. It's my first time in Australia. And I realized, we started with Sydney, and I realized that in Australia, time is very important. And the way I realized is we had a meeting last week with 20 guys, and the meeting was called for 5:30. 5:25, most of them were there. I said, wow, Australians are serious about time. The next thing that happened is they said this, and we're very sorry to tell you, you know, it was on Shabbat, on Saturday, they told us, we're very sorry to tell you, there's going to be a rain tomorrow, on Sunday. Next thing that happened, on Saturday, the rain already started coming. So you go, wow, here they're very serious about time. Everything is being done before time. So I will also try as an Israeli, I will do my utmost to keep to the timelines. What I would like to share with you over the next 20, 25 minutes is a little bit of a story, and I'll tell you how it started. 4 years ago, Israel had its 60th birthday. And President Shimon Peres probably understood better than the previous president what is the role of the president, decided to decided to inaugurate a very interesting concept, and he started the President Conference. What he did is he basically they chose to showcase 60 companies that were chosen out of Israel. Those companies are companies that were going to change the future. They called it the Tomorrow's Conference. Companies that will change the way we live our lives tomorrow. Our company, Oramed, was chosen as one of these companies. And I remember I worked around this conference. They had all many high-level profile people that came to this conference. And I remember working around and seeing those other 59 companies. Seeing the innovation, seeing the vision on the one hand. And on the other hand, whenever I travel around the world and I tell people or they see that I'm an Israeli or in most cases they can hear that I'm an Israeli, people are like, "Are you Israeli?" The only thing that comes up is the Palestinians-Israeli conflict. That's it. And no one talks about the other part of the story. About the part of how many things that we use today that people around the world enjoy their lives with because it was invented in Israel. So I decided to go about and to start my own small initiative and to create a presentation that we can share with Jews and non-Jews alike that will a little bit distract us from the politics side of the story and share the nice side of Israel and only talk about what Israel has done to make the life here better. And what I'll do is I'll share with you the story about Israel. I'm sure some of the things you're more familiar with, some are less. And also my own perspective as an Israeli entrepreneur. Just to follow up on what David said, I will touch a little bit on my company as well. My story is also a little bit of a different but classic Israeli entrepreneur story. My background is I'm a lawyer. I have an MBA, mostly in the business world. And I grew up at a home that my mother always knew that she is a scientist at Hadassah Medical Center. And for many years, they worked on finding an alternative way to deliver insulin. And 7 years ago, my mother was telling me, she said, we finally cracked it down right, and we got the technology that enabled us to take injectables and give them orally. And the leading product is insulin, that we can actually take insulin and give it orally. So I went about and basically negotiated with Hadassah to take the intellectual property out of Hadassah into the company. We started the company via a reverse merger, so the company is public in Nasdaq OTC. And since then, we went a long way with our development of this oral insulin and other drugs program, and I'll try to get a little bit more at the end to share a little bit of my experience starting up a company in Israel. So let's start with Israel Oasis of Innovation. So let's start with some basic facts about Israel, if I can get it right.
One of the smallest countries on earth, with 1/1000th of the world's population, only 60 years old, under constant threat, and yet, relative to its population, Israel is the largest immigrant-absorbing nation on earth. It has absorbed 350% of its population in 60 years. Israel is the only country in history to have revived an unspoken language. Since the founding of the state, Israel has more Nobel Prizes per capita than any other country. It has more laureates in real numbers than China, Mexico, and Spain. Israel has the 8th longest life expectancy, 80.7 years, longer than the UK, US, and Germany. Israeli films were nominated 3 years in a row for the Academy Award's Best Foreign Film. Israel is the only country that entered the 21st century with a net gain in its number of trees, even more remarkable, in an area that's mainly desert. Over 90% of Israeli homes use solar energy for hot water, the highest percentage in the world. Israel's scientific research institutions are ranked third in the world. Israel is ranked second in space sciences. Israel produces more scientific papers per capita than any other nation by a large margin. Israel has the third highest rate of entrepreneurship among women in the world. Israel has attracted the most venture capital investment per capita in the world, 30 times more than Europe. Israel leads the world in patents for medical equipment. Israel has more NASDAQ-listed companies than any country besides the U.S., more than all of Europe, India, China, and Japan combined. In proportion to its population, Israel has the largest number of startup companies in the world. In absolute numbers, Israel has more startups than any country other than the U.S.
So what I'll try to do in this presentation is basically to speak about the WWW, meaning what inventions are actually coming out of Israel. Try to a little bit brainstorm why is it that there's so much innovation coming out of this small country. And then probably the most interesting part is what is being developed now that we're going to see in the future coming out of Israel. I think because this forum is mainly business people, I'll also try to speak a little bit about the constraints that us Israelis have when it comes to do international business. Obviously, there's a few aspects to it, so I'll try to touch on that as well. So let's start with the first W. What is actually out there now in Israel? So technology is one of the biggest things in Israel. I don't know, someone told me that you just saw in the Melbourne there was an article, and I know in the New York Times over Saturday that there was this famous virus that was sent to Iran, and they hired this Russian company to order to figure out what's the story with this virus. So I spoke to someone who's in the space last night on the phone. There was a big cyber conference in Tel Aviv with over 1,000 participants. So the Russian guy who was hired to find out about this virus and the nuclear thing, he basically hinted that this virus was developed in the Middle East. They found out that it wasn't supported as well from Friday night till Saturday night. You know, so it wasn't so hard to guess who was behind it. I think this virus symbolizes that we are in a new era now. When Israel considered what are the options that we can do with Iran, I think the virus came out as probably the most obvious thing. For those of you who don't know, they found out that in the nuclear plant in Iran, there was a virus that got into the system, that it was also in other places, but it was only activated inside the nuclear plant itself. But it was activated in such a sophisticated way that all the monitoring computers that were trying to see if the system are working okay, they got the signal that everything is okay, what in reality actually destroyed all the system from the inside, but just kept on projecting that everything was okay. So it took them a long time to realize that what they see is not that really happening in reality. So there's a lot of Israeli startups and a lot of things that were developed. You know, the voice over IP, the antivirus, and probably the virus itself, the cell phone was all started in Israel. The first messaging, the first cell phone, definitely the voicemail. What I wanted to share with you a little bit is to speak about the disco key. This is just a nice story that tells that story about Israel. The guy who started that, his name is Dov Moran. And the reason it's an interesting story because it shows something about the spirit. He started this idea with the disco key, and he sold the company for $1.2 billion to SanDisk. And then he came up with a great idea. He said, I'm going to start now. Everybody in the world is using a cell phone. Everybody's walking around with a cell phone, right? You're worried that you forgot your cell phone in the car. It's a big crisis, right? We can't be 1 minute away from our cell phones. So he said, I should look at the cell phones as a central unit in our lives. And everything else that I'm going to do, I'm going to create a modular cell phone that you can connect things to that. So for example, you know, if you like to hear music, you can get an MP3 that goes into your cell phone. If you like to jog, you can get something that actually allows you to, you know, to jog and to monitor your heart. Everything will be around the cell phone. He raised $130 million to start the company. He himself invested a big part of it. And you know what happened? It didn't work out. And just a few months ago, they announced that, you know, they gave up and the company shut down. I think they sold all the IP to Google for like $5 million, and that was the end of the story. But what's nice about the story is that a month ago, he already came out and he said, what's his new startup? He has a whole new thing, website to compare when you buy online a smart way to compare. The idea is, and I don't know how many of you have read the book Startup Nation, but one of the things that this book writes about, he says, in Israel, someone who tried and failed, it will be considered more favorable than someone who never tried. And I think that's part of the story. And it's just one application that was developed, very, very cool, and they just did a deal with Facebook.
They were going to check out a new facial recognition app for the iPhone. It comes to you from the people at face.com. This is one of those apps that reminds us why it's called a smartphone. The first time we tested it out, it was nice to see that it instantly recognized familiar faces. As you can see, it locks onto the face and begins its search. Once the app thinks it's got it, a name pops up. And if it's right, just tap to tag. But say it doesn't recognize the face. There are two options. One, you can give the app suggestions based on a percentage of recognizes the face. Or two, you can tap other to find your friend's name, as long as they're on Facebook. Though as far as facial recognition apps go, that is pretty impressive.
Okay, I think we got the idea. Very smart. It's been used very much widely by more of the Homeland Security area. Where if you have a picture of someone, you can right away compare it and see others are using it. But now it's starting to be very, very applicable. So if you walk in the street and you see someone you like, you don't like, whatever it is, you can, you know, get a picture. You then right away you can see who the person is, what's the name. You go into their Facebook account. It's a little bit scary, to be honest, but it looks like this is the world we're going into. Just on a side note, I spoke to a CEO of a security company with the internet. He said he doesn't have a profile on Facebook nor on LinkedIn. He said the big brother in these days is just too big to take that risk. But I think most of the world is not there. The other thing I want to share with you about technology, and I think there's also something about unique about these things, it's about the thinking behind it. Has anybody heard of Waze here? Okay. You Israeli?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell the story of Waze, which is, I think, an unbelievable thing. But what I like about it is the psychology behind it. And the psychology is that the power of one is greater than, obviously, the sums of the individuals. And if we're all going to be together in the game, we can really change the face of reality. So Waze, I'll show you briefly what it does, and really, it's something that I use almost every day in Israel. I've never seen anything like it. Okay.
It's
bars. And that's that. I was when I started my meeting, I said, someone will come up with a startup of a computer that just works smoothly. That would be a big seller. But somehow, maybe he thinks it's a BlackBerry or something like that. Maybe we can call one of the guys there to see if they know what to do. So I'll just go on. I'll tell you a little bit about the psychology behind it. That Waze is a GPS navigator that works in the following manner. When you connect to Waze, he gets the data and he knows where you are, right? And he knows how fast you're going. So when a lot of people connect to Waze, and just as an example, in Israel, there are over 2 million people who sign up to Waze, right? It must be every driver has at least 5 accounts with Waze. So what happens is, when you want to find a route how to go, he knows right now when you leave your house how busy it is all over the roads. So he gives you the roads that you can go that has no traffic in it. I want to tell you, I tried to say, no, I'm leaving my house. I know my house very well, right? I mean, there's nothing that I don't know about it. It took me through Waze in the busiest hour, and there's just, wherever he took me, there's no traffic. He just knows. It's almost like the Big Brother is looking everywhere and telling you where to go. It's unbelievably how accurate this thing works. He gives you an estimated time of arrival. It's to the minute. I'm always surprised again and again. And if there's a change, if there's a car accident, if something happened, it updates you. It tells you what happened. And people can communicate and say to each other, here, there's a policeman here. There's an accident there. There's a fire there. It's really unbelievable. I would assume it also works in Australia. But again, the game here... you got it here. And it's working well?
Yeah, it works.
Because you don't have a lot of user. That's the problem. Yeah, so the more people use it, the better it is. So Israel, which adapts technology relatively fast, it's unbelievable. So that's Waze. The other thing... I'll move into security. I just got stuck. The other thing that I wanted to show you there, which is also a very simple idea... I get last night an SMS, 12:30 a.m. Your card was just approved of a deal of £168. I just froze. It's stuck. I cannot go back and forth and can do the deal. I don't know. He knows everything about technology. So I got this SMS. Your card was just, was approved for a deal of £168 in the store in England. I'm like, you know, I know Australia is part of the Commonwealth, but I think it's still called Australia. I got a little bit confused there. But then I realized Australia is not England, and there's probably something wrong with it. So I called the credit card company, and I said, listen, I'm in Australia, not in England. What happened? They said someone swiped your card, your physical card, in England. I said, okay, so that someone must have been a mistake. So said, yeah, no problem. We'll cancel it. We're going to refund the money to you, and no worries. It happens often. So this company came up with a great idea. Many times, people don't only duplicate the credit card, but sometimes they would just steal, you know, like a small thing from the same country, you know, like $60 here, $72 there, or there's like charges by mistake, or sometimes you get PayPal when it's not really PayPal. So what they did is they put a system that you put your stuff there, and whoever is in the system... Whoever is in the system and they realize that there's a problem... Right, you put it in the system, and then everybody else who's part of the system, they're going to raise the red flag. So usually it's going to be the same guys who try to cheat. They just do it on millions of cards. But suddenly if the millions of cards are suddenly connected, then everything changes. So these are all things that actually are working and doing very well. So it's just a little bit on the technology. We're going to move now into the security story. The security story is probably one of the most unbelievable stories. It's working?
I'm just getting a text of me after the
call. Oh, okay.
Fox News alert now on the new developments in Israel's security situation. We have new video, this just in, from Israel's Defense Ministry, and it shows a missile being fired from a plane over the Mediterranean Sea. The country successfully testing its Arrow-2 missile defense system that's meant to intercept weapons launched from Iran. Fox's Lulu Dittert is live in Jerusalem. Tell us the latest, Lulu.
Ally, what this was a successful test of the radar that tracked the missile from the F-15. It's incredible technology. Show you why it's so important. Take a look at the map. The missile was fired about 1,000 miles, quote, deep in the Mediterranean towards Israel. 1,000 miles to the other side of Israel is Iran. And obviously there's a big threat of missiles coming in from Iran. So this was a test like what would happen in a real war situation. The video that we have from the Israeli Defense Forces shows this ballistic missile being fired off of an F-15 and then traced by the radar system. The Arrow missile system is much like Star Wars in the sense that a ground-based missile would then fire off and blow this incoming missile up. So far, the U.S.
So Israel has been the seventh biggest exporter of homeland security weapons, whatever you want to call it, in the world. $11 billion 2 years ago. And the reason that it's so interesting or intriguing is because Israel is so limited with who they can sell the weaponry to, right? I mean, obviously we cannot sell to our neighbors, but even to China, there was a big deal. I don't know how much it made it to the news here. Israel was going to sell this intelligence plane to the Chinese for over $1 billion, and then Americans stepped in and they vetoed it and they said, no way you can sell that technology to the Chinese. So you're basically left with, you know, India and Singapore and a few other small countries. And that's why the figure of being the seventh biggest exporter is a very impressive figure. That being said, there is a lot of export that's being done to some other countries, such as the Emirates and so Dubai. I mean, if you saw the videos of the Mossad agents going in Dubai, smiling to the camera, so all the surveillance system there in Dubai, it's also Israeli done and installed. Maybe that's why they were so confident about smiling to the cameras, I don't know. But there are some companies that they work, for example, in Abu Dhabi, there was a huge project, a $4.5 billion project for an American Swiss company that it's all Israelis, that all the defense system to all the oil, you know, the oil area and the oil airports, everything is being done by Israeli. What they do is they fly them in with a private jet so they don't do any passport work. And passport control, they do all the work, they go back on the jet, they fly them out, so nobody besides the Sheikh and a few other guys know that Israelis were here and it's all Israel done, and that's it. So there is some business done, because when you have a superior technology and these guys have so much money to pay for it, they're just going to end up doing it. They're not going to take any less than that.
That's available on the technology.
Now going a little bit into the medicine world.
Okay, I'm just going to share with you some of the ideas, and I'll tell you which one why I chose it.
For all those people who should get colonoscopies and don't, now just swallow a pill instead of undergoing an invasive procedure.
The pill cone is basically a miniature television studio. It has...
So I'm sure many of you heard of giving imaging. I mean, we at Diana, one of our board members is Heshi Jacob, who's one of the founders of giving imaging. And he used to tell us, they come with a simple idea. You put a camera inside a capsule and people can swallow it. He said he went to VCs in America to try and raise money for this idea. They told him, listen, we don't do science fiction. Here's the door. And today the company sells for tens of millions of dollars. They have a market cap of over $500 million. Very, very successful company, but it's one of the stories where it took a lot of vision in order to make it happen. Just to talk a little bit now about why there's so much innovation coming out of Israel. The truth is, I don't know what's the answer. I can share with you, though, that if I look at my classmates from law school, so at least the chevre that I was close with, most of them don't work in lawyers. A lot of them have startups and ideas, and there is a feeling in the air of innovation and ideas, and everybody, the feeling is that people are driven to start something, to innovate. What is the reason? Whether it has to do with the army, with the education, I don't know what's the answer. I mean, Startup Nation talks a lot about it. I'm just going to run through some of the slides here. You can get an idea. There's no doubt that R&D is very, very big in Israel, and it definitely, definitely helps. Israel recently joined the OECD. Education used to be very good. Unfortunately, to be honest, I think it's now a little bit on a decline. It used to be that Israel used to win the first places in mathematical international tests.
We're very fortunate that in my company, in Oramed, one of the people who are very involved is a Nobel Prize winner. His name is Avram Hershko. He's a real giant. And he has a son who is a doctor, very, very talented guy, that he stopped practicing medicine in order to become a teacher. He said that he feels that the need in Israel right now is for teachers rather than doctors, because the education is going down, and if we want to have more people like his father that will win the Nobel Prize, we have to start from their early education. We all know the well-known figures about Nobel Prizes, and I can tell you from my own experience, once you meet one of these guys and you see how justified it is, I'm not talking about the Nobel Prize for Peace, I'm talking about Nobel Prize in other things. You become very proud of what you've done. One reason that I see going internationally, meeting people, and that I see which is a big player in why Israelis do business differently, has to do with mentality. Let me share with you one thing about the Israeli mentality, which I'm sure you're going to like. This is Sacha Bar Cohen, the voice behind it.
Don't want to do a photo with me? You can hold my gun. I use it in Entebbe. I killed 3 Ugandans. Before you go in, you fill out comment card. don't forget the back.
People are so pushing.
What, Israeli people are pushing? How about you experience a couple of genocides and see how laid back you are? We were girls from Spain, throw out of there. They allow everybody in Spain, but for us, Jews, no flamenco, get out. I'm pushing, please, you stay there, surrounded by your great enemy Canada, try Syria for 2 months.
So as Israelis, we do get this reputation of sometimes being pushy, a little bit of a chutzpah, and I think there's a lot to it. I think in the last recent years, Israelis were much more refined and part of the international business world. I can tell you there was a big biomedical conference in Israel 2 weeks ago. And there's a big company that we're going to work with on running our next trial, the FDA trial. And the guy that we're dealing with, he told her, listen, I deserve congratulations, Mazel Tov, we didn't know the word Mazel Tov. I'm becoming now the head of all the Europe business development. So I said, does that mean we're not going to be seeing any more of you? Said, no. Because I'm now the boss, I curved out Israel so I can still do business in Israel. I said, wow, why is that? I mean, he's a non-Jew from England, nothing to do with it. He said, you don't understand. You know, when I try to do business in France, in England, it's just impossible. People are so sad. You cannot communicate. I said, when I come to Israel, I feel so relieved. You know, people just say where they stand, you understand where you are very open. So just from pure, plain business point of view, he said it's a pleasure to be here. Besides that, he also said he loves the food, he loves the women, he loves the beaches, whatever. But that's the side reason. But he really said that he enjoys doing business in Israel. And a lot of it has to do with the mentality. You know, I like to show this thing about the time. Remember, when I started working in a law firm, my second day in the law firm, there was a huge case that one of the partners had to do with in the Supreme Court, the Ministry of Education, another big school. It was a very well-covered case. Now, in Israel, when you go to the Supreme Court, you need to put a gown on and a tie. Unfortunately, us Israelis, we're not so good in doing the tie. So the law firm was very smart. They came up with a brilliant idea. They only tied one tie, and you just left it hanging there. So whoever needs to take the tie just goes, put the tie on, he's ready to go, right? The only problem that the first guy who did the tie for the office happened to be a short, I think it was a South African, and this partner happened to be a giant guy. So I'm walking into the office, the guy is all ready and excited to go into the court, and he puts the tie, gets up to here, and he just says, he's ready to go, and there's going to be TV and whatever. And I thought to myself, what do I do? You know, it's my second day on the job, I'm going to tell him, listen, man, you can't go to court like that. So eventually I went, there was a female lawyer there, I went over, I said, listen, I don't think it's, she just had a look, she gave him a piece of her mind, and that was the end of it. But it shows something about the lack of formality, both about the clothing, which sometimes can manifest itself in the direct way of doing business, which I think is one of the nice things. Okay, we're now in the last W. What is expecting for us in the future? Have a look at some of this very, very interesting stuff.
The vehicle is extremely compact, about the size of a large van, which gives it the ability to land in virtually any urban space. As a result of its unique maneuverability, the range of missions that X-Hawk is able to fulfill is virtually limitless. Equipped as an aerial ambulance, its response time is rapid, predictable, and unaffected by contingencies such as traffic jams. In circumstances where minutes can make all the difference, X-Hawk can save lives.
This is a very interesting idea, but the reason I brought it, not only because it's interesting, because the guy who started it, who thought of it, he was the first guy to put the money into it. He built the first, you know, beta type out of his living room. He was the first pilot to fly it. You know, it's one of the stories that a guy takes it all the way through with little funding, but a lot of vision. This is a brilliant idea. This professor from the Technion, she came up with the idea that there's so much traffic, there's so many cars that weigh so much. So she created this generator that you put under the road, and from the weight of the cars that go on the road, you can actually make the electricity. They're now running a trial in Italy where they're putting this on highways, and the idea is that the cars that go on the highway will supply the electricity that will light up those highways. But, you know, the idea is that at the end of the day, we're going to have cities like this. All the roads that are coming into the city will have these generators under the roads, and you're standing in traffic, and when you drive, you're actually producing the electricity that will be suffice to help use this energy for the city. How many of you have heard of Better Place?
Sure. Yeah.
Not everybody. Okay, so I'll show you a quick thing about it, and then...
Better Place presents the best car in the world. The best car for the world. This car runs on electric energy and makes this world a greener and cleaner place. A better world to live in thanks to an easily rechargeable and environmentally friendly electric battery. Recharge points will be positioned all over the country, in every parking lot, in every home, and in thousands of locations all over the country. Upon entering your parking space, the car will easily connect and recharge until the next time you use it.
So those of you who read Startup Nation, obviously Better Place is a big part of the book. Shai Agassi, the guy who funded, he left a huge position with S&P. He's going to be the next CEO. He had a huge start. He's 24. He sold his first high-tech company for a lot of money. And now you can already make reservation for this in Israel. There's a few hundred of those who are running now in a trial in Israel. You can see the stations now almost all over in Israel. And by the year end, we're going to see. I mean, if this thing is going to play out right, it's going to change the way we consume oil. It's going to change the way we transport. So not so long from now, we'll see where it stands.
There's an office in Melbourne.
Ah, yeah?
Yeah.
In Richmond, right?
In vertical curtain wall applications, the PBGU replaces traditional insulated glass units. Unlike solar panels, the PBGU integrates easily into conventional building architecture and construction processes, and its high transparency enables aesthetically pleasing.
Again, it's such a simple idea. You already have a big building, and you already look at the building right there. So just instead of whatever you have coating the building, you put this type of stuff, which is basically solar, all right, and that will give you the electricity in order to allow for the electricity of the building. So again, very simple, and those all are inventions that can really transform the future the way we know it. I'm just going to end up just toward the end. Just a few words just about my own story and my own experience in the last 2 minutes. We started a company that, again, what we have is today it's a NASDAQ-listed company, which we have a technology to deliver drugs orally instead of injection. The leading product is insulin for diabetics. Unfortunately, diabetes today touches 350 million around the world, but worse than that, it's becoming worse and worse with the years to come. And the invention came out of Adassa, as I mentioned, that allows us to overcome the two obstacles that do not allow us to take some of the injectables, and therefore we can only take them as injectable and not as pill. We've done a lot of work over the last 7 years, and now it's probably the most exciting time in the life of the company, is we're about to file and go into FDA trial, phase 2 trial, which is a huge trial that will take place in the United States
towards the end of this year and beginning of next year. One of the things that I showed here, because I think doing business out of Israel is very important, just to give you an example, many times when I go to America, I say I may speak English, but I don't speak Americans. And I think as Israelis, many times we have to know our limitations. And I think part of the limitation is that if you want to do a deal, for example, our strategy at the end of the day is probably to do a deal with an international partner, and we have conversations with them, the best guys to do it is someone who's been there, done that. So that's why many times when I speak to my Israeli peers, I said, get someone who's been there, done that. So for example, this gentleman here, Dr. Michael Borelowitz, he used to be the top guy in Pfizer, one of the three top medical directors running the biggest unit of Pfizer, which is the biggest pharmaceuticals company in the world. And we put a lot of effort into trying to get him involved with Oramed in order to have a guy that knows how the big guys think, that we can do the same deal with them. And I think being limited with where we live, that's the right way to go when you're a small Israeli company. So you're welcome to follow us up on oramed.com and to get updates and to see how we're hopefully also going to be part of this effort to change the world to the better. So thank you very much for the time, and I'm looking for your time.
Nadav, on behalf of the United Israel Appeal and JVD of Melbourne, thank you all for joining us. We hope that you've enjoyed Nadav's presentation, and if you've got any questions, please feel free to ask. He's got a couple more minutes, and we'll kick off with Minchah in a few minutes. Thank you. Thanks, Nadav. Thank you.